You've just tuned into The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, everyone, you've just tuned into The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. My name is Matt. That's Mark. What's happening, man? Long time no see, dude.
Brother, I'm just glad to be healthy. I'm upright. I'm sitting upright today. Just went through a horrible month of illness and just very excited to be back on the show with you and talking Steelers again. It's been a crazy season, and it looks like it's only going to get crazier.
Yeah, dude, no doubt about it. It's great to be back on. We won't get into any of the details, but let's just say it was a rough month for you. So you're back on the healthy track, more or less, right?
I am. I'm feeling better. Things are good. Missed more time than I could have ever dreamed of. I'm just not the type of person to be sick very often, but this one floored me. And like I said, I just glad to be back doing some normal things again. So yeah, everything's good, buddy.
Right on, right on. All right, so the Steelers now, of course, after that big win against the Lions at Heinz Field this past weekend, they are 4-6 overall. They're 1-1 in the AFC North, so obviously the bulk of the divisional games are yet to come, and of course the one with Cleveland coming up. But we'll get to that in a minute. You know what's crazy is I had tickets in my hand to go to this Lions game, but I couldn't go at the last minute. I got them through work, and man, I tell you, I missed a crazy one. I was talking to some guys at work who were there, and of course, you know, during the game about halftime, some people started leaving, and then, you know, when they came back, man, the Steelers, you know, obviously came back and won the game. So I missed a good one, but at least I got to see it on television.
Well, you know, and kudos first to the fans that stayed. It's embarrassing. I'll be very, very frank. I mean, Steelers fans consider themselves to be some of the best fans in the NFL, if not the best fans of any professional team. And that was embarrassing. You would not have ever seen that in a place like Green Bay, where those people, they don't care what the record is. They don't care what the weather is. They live and die with it. And it pains me to say that, but really should be embarrassed. You know, at the same time, you pay for those tickets, and if you choose to leave, then that's your choice. But it just didn't look good. There were a lot of Detroit fans who made the short trip over to Pittsburgh for the game. There were obviously tickets available. People didn't want to go. So, you know, it is what it is. I certainly hope people take a lot of crap for that and maybe learn a valuable lesson. But, yeah, as far as the game, man, quick start for the first time all year. They get up 14-0. Then the next thing you know, they're down by 7 at halftime, and then the defense comes around, and the Lions helped them out a little bit by just kind of going brain dead offensively, and then Ben in the no huddle gets hot in the fourth quarter, and you got a victory.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think this was a game where, I mean, I freely admit that at halftime, I thought the wheels were coming off this team again. I mean, you know, they got out to the nice lead, things were going good, the fans were going crazy, everybody was happy, and then all of a sudden, Ike Taylor forgets to tackle, Troy and Will Allen can't go up back there and help Ike, so you got Megatron 1-on-1, he starts lighting the scoreboard up, everybody gets hot, and next thing you know, the Steelers are down, and everybody's flipping out and thinking, oh my God, here we go again. But, you know, kudos to, you know, obviously not only Tomlin, but, you know, also LeBeau and Haley for making the adjustments at halftime. And being able to, you know, get the offense going again when it had clearly stalled out, you know, when the team got behind. The defense got rejuvenated. So it was nice to see them dig deep and not give up, you know, after they had a nice lead and then saw it suddenly diminish all in one quarter.
And that's what it did. I you know, living where I live, I'm surrounded by Lion fans, so the victory obviously made my week a lot better this week. You know, they all laugh. They say, hey, well, at least we gave you a game in the second quarter. And you know, it's just, you knew Calvin Johnson was going to get his. You just didn't think it would come like that. And, you know, Ike Taylor has been such a good DB for so long in terms of his coverage skills, but, you know, it's an absolute disgrace not to make the tackle. I think he had two or three interceptions right in his hands. You know, and yeah, Ike's being Ike. He never catches a ball. But, you know, you got to make those plays. And certainly he didn't get help from Clark on one of the deep balls. And, you know, it is what it is. The Lions, for whatever reason, just went away from Johnson in the second half. And you know, they had four, I think they had four series that were under a minute and 29 seconds. And you're not going to do much when you're not on the field, and the couple times they did go to him was in the end zone in the fourth quarter, and it was an incomplete pass. Good play by Clark and Taylor, and they looked at him another time, and that's when I think Hood got in there for the sack right on the goal line. So, you know, they just kind of went away from him. I didn't think that the Steelers did a ton of stuff differently in the second half. I thought they put a guy kind of underneath Johnson a little bit, but it wasn't anything that would have kept them from going towards him. So, you know, we'll gladly take it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it was a game where it was definitely a tale of two halves in this game, in that, you know, in the first quarter, the Steelers offense was on fire. And then, of course, you know, the rest of the game, the Steelers offense came back after halftime. The defense really stepped up in the second half. You know, Twitter was just blowing up once Megatron started getting hot. Everybody was calling Ike the worst corner ever. He's terrible. The Steelers defense sucks. The secondary's terrible. So, you know, I was glad to see them respond. I tell you, that late interception was just a thing of beauty, because when's the last time you saw the defense late in the game find a way to get a turnover or a big sack or just generally make a stop to get the ball back and give the offense a chance to win? So, I just think it was awesome to see.
Well, it was, and I think to piggyback on the fact that the defense got the turnover is also the fact that, you know, and there, Tomlin kind of alluded to it, or somebody did yesterday at the press conference, or maybe talking to players, but I think Tomlin was quoted during the game, late in the game, as saying, you know, we're going to keep the foot on the pedal, and they let Ben stay in that no huddle, even with, you know, the 3-point lead, and that led to the touchdown to Cotchery that iced the game, and I can't tell you, and you know this as well as I do, that's so refreshing to hear. You know, after all the years of Bill Cowher getting the lead and then sitting on it, and mostly successful, but then Tomlin's kind of had a penchant for doing the same thing. And in this era, you can't do it anymore. The offenses are too darn good. There's too many guys that can score from anywhere on the field. So it was really refreshing to hear him say, we're going to keep the foot on the pedal.
Well, you know what, and they should. And I think, you know, the way that Haley really allowed Ben to come out in a no huddle and run it pretty much the entire game. I mean, Ben went 29-45, 367 yards, 4 TDs, picks. Now, the ground game was dismal. Bell had, 36 yards rushing. Ben had 12, and there was nothing else left to speak of. So the rushing game this year for the Steelers stinks. There's no two ways about it, even with Bell there. You know, they are just not a good rushing team right now, I believe. Rushing offense, they are 28th in the league. They are 15th overall with their offense, 28th in rushing and 7 passing. So there's a monster disparity there. You know, Bell only has 375 yards rushing, but Ben is approaching 3,000. He should eclipse that this week when they play the Browns. But, yeah, it was just awesome to see Ben actually run a no huddle. The team be able to move up and down the field and score that many points. It was just amazing to watch. You know, Tomlin says, you know, they're going to keep doing this type of thing and keep the pedal to the metal, as you said. But I'll kind of believe it, because every time I start believing in this team this year, they won two in a row earlier and then they dropped some. Now they won two in a row, and, you know, can we get to three in a row? And I think if they let Ben get out there and get a big lead going against Cleveland, you know, that'll be huge, because obviously the Browns don't have the firepower on offense that the Lions do. But still, it's an AFC North game. But I think Ben running the no huddle, you know, at this point, the Steelers offense has been up and down so much. If the no huddle's working, you know, just don't stop using it. It's the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. At least,
well,
in my opinion.
No, you're right. And I mean, I think there's going to be points in this game coming up on Sunday where, they might not use the no huddle, and I can already see the Twitter blow up that nature. You know, I've had this discussion with people this week, and you know, the no huddle first and foremost is not a hurry up offense, and I think people forget that. They get that mixed up at times. It, you know, the no huddle is just that. You don't huddle. You go to the line of scrimmage, and that forces the defense to to not be able to get their subs in, especially Detroit, who had a good rotation on the defensive line. So that being said, you know, the Steelers did a great job with it. I know there's people talking about, well, you know, Ben's stats were just as good when they huddled as when they're in the no huddle. But it's not always about Ben. You got to remember the linemen can benefit from this because they get a lot longer time to look at the defensive formations. They can see, you know, which guys across from me, which guys down the line, who's going to, you know, if they start stemming left and right. And then, of course, you got the receivers. The receivers can communicate with Ben a little bit as well. So, you know, it's not just about him. Yes, he loves doing it. It's what he did in college. But I guarantee you they're not going to do it all the time. And I think, you know, Neil Kulong from Behind the Steel Curtain pointed this out today, too. You know, it's not always about the no huddle either. It's about personnel. You know, getting those tight ends off there and getting a couple extra receivers in there too. So that does make a difference.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think something else we tend to forget is, you know, even when Ben's running the no huddle, it doesn't mean that Haley's just sitting there, you know, on the sidelines eating hot dogs.
Right.
I mean, Haley is still on his ear right up until the last second before he had the NFL automatically clicks off his mic and his earpiece into Ben's helmet. So it's not like, you know, Haley just says, okay, Ben, go ahead. And then he walks away and starts talking to somebody. He's still talking to Ben, but, you know, like Tomlin mentioned, you know, Ben has a series of plays that he can call based on any situation when they're running the no huddle. So it's not like, you know, Ben runs this, 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 and this every time. He still has to make decisions, and Haley's, you know, putting stuff in his ear about do this, do that, watch this, watch that. But I think it's clearly when Ben is in his element, he's running the no huddle successfully. He's able to, he goes up to the line. He has that extra time to check out the defense. You know, they can't make substitutions because, you know, they don't know if he's going to snap the ball right away. So that's obviously the point of the no huddle, is, you know, forcing the defense to stay in the personnel that you want them to stay in once you start running it. I think people sometimes do get it mixed up with the hurry up or the 2 minute or whatever, but you're exactly right. The no huddle is nothing more than just, I'm just not going to huddle. I'm going to call the plays at the line.
Yeah.
So, and you're right. You know, it gives the linemen a few extra seconds to look at who's in front of them. You know, the wide receivers, you know, maybe see something that Ben doesn't, and they can make a hand signal, and then, you know, it results in a big play. It's any number of things, but Ben clearly is good at it. He runs it well. But, you know, you're right in that you can't run it all the time, because just look at the Bills. I mean, the Bills ran the no huddle with Jim Kelly constantly. They got to 4 Super Bowls and never won one of them. So, you know, you have to be able to line up and pound the ball and make plays at the line in the huddle, as well as running the no huddle itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that Ben is more comfortable doing it than he is coming out of just your basic huddle situation. I mean, he feels more in charge. He's, you know, like you mentioned, I think there's a lot of people this week saying, oh, it was so nice, Ben had total control of the offense. You know, it's not like Haley's just standing over there waiting for the ice cream truck to come by. You know, I mean, he went to Ben earlier this year or earlier on Sunday or this week and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing some more no huddle, which my first question would be, what the hell took you so long?
Exactly.
That's a whole other subject. But, you know, he's very involved. And look, if we're going to rip on the guy, and you and I both have 6 ways a Sunday in terms of ripping on him, I mean, you got to give him credit, too, when he does something right, you know, so... Is this going to save his job? I don't know. Let's talk in 6-7 weeks. We'll figure it out. But, yeah, you got to give him a little bit of credit, too.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, we as Steeler fans, we are quick to criticize, but we're not always, you know, quick to, you know, just give somebody a pat on the back. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, the offense has gotten better. You know, clearly the no huddle works, but there's still a lot of issues. I mean, as I said, the running game is just dismal. I mean, you know, the Steelers are pathetic in the ground game. Bell, I think, has a bright future, but he's only got 375 yards this year. So it's not like he's lighting it up. Now, you know, how much of that is Bell versus how much of that is the musical chairs on the offensive line? I mean, that's an ongoing scenario with his group. There's never another, you know, enough healthy people to start the same group every week anymore. It hasn't been that way for years. You know, I don't know. I think, just to transition a little bit, the no huddle was great. The Steelers offense is doing well in between 20s, but then they get to the red zone, and just like every year, fast, I don't know how many years, they stink in the red zone. I mean, right now we are 31st in the National Football League, according to your article on SteelCityBlitz.com, shameless plug. The Steelers are 31st in the NFL in red zone efficiency in terms of scoring touchdowns, which is really what it's all about. Right. If you're inside the 20, you better score. And we only do that 42% of the time which is just terrible.
It's brutal, and I, you know, I pointed out three things in that article that I think are the biggest problems. I think one is obviously the lack of any kind of a power running game, and I like Bell. I think Bell's a good all-around player. We've obviously seen him do some great things running the ball and some really good things receiving. He's going to have to work on taking what is there. He still wants to dance a little bit too much for my liking. I felt like he was getting that out of his system a little bit, but it kind of reemerged this weekend. You know, secondly, I think is just lack of execution. You know, Ben missed a wide open David Paulson. I mean, you can't miss that throw. And look, every quarterback misses throws. It happens. But he's in the end zone. You're in the red zone. You got to score. And then you had Antonio Brown dropping a touchdown pass. Thankfully, they were able to come back, and Will Johnson scored on a similar play. But he just didn't catch it. And then the third thing is play calling. You know, up until this past Sunday, they had, you know, Haley had been going run, first and second down, right up the middle. And I, for the life of me, I don't know why they don't get more creative. So until they can kind of fix some of those problems, those red zone, you know, scoring touchdown numbers, they're not going to get any better anytime soon. And this game this week is, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be an attacking 3-4 defense. It's Ray Horton, who we all know well. That's a defensive coordinator there, and we can't afford to just have Sushi come out and kick field goals.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, I mean, when you look at the Steelers' offense this year, seventh in the league in passing, so obviously top 10, not bad at all. Nobody's going to complain about it. Rushing, they're 28th, which is just dismal, only 76.5 yards a game. And, you know, when you get inside the 20, obviously the field shrinks. So, you know, you're limiting yourself into what you can call. But, you know, if you can't run the ball, everybody knows you can't run the ball, and, you know, you're going to pass. So what do? You know, they'll drop everybody back, or they'll send everybody on a blitz and just dare you to try and throw it because they know that, you know, you're not going to run most of the time. And, you know, I love Bell, too. I think he's going to be the future. But, you know, this whole zone blocking thing that was supposed to be awesome, you know, that just sucks this year, and that's partially because the offense line is always so beat up. I get it. I think Bell's a great talent. He can catch out of the backfield, but you're right. He still is inexperienced. He's a rookie. He's got to learn to take what he gets and, you know, not dance so much, you know, find that hole and run with it, you know, especially when you're in close. And he has the power to bull through, but sometimes there just isn't a lane there because the penetration just comes right through. And that's the age-old problem with Pittsburgh is that, you know, penetration comes right up the middle, and that just blows up any type of potential you can do right from the start. That's the worst place to get penetration. So until this team can find a run game, they're going to struggle in the red zone, and they have done for years.
Yeah, you know, and it certainly didn't help this weekend when you've got, you know, a guy Whimper, who let's just say was a below average tackle when they brought him on board and they give him his first start at left guard. You know, you're not going to get too many short yardage situations behind him. You've got Velasco, who's done a very commendable job this year. You know, DeCastro had a decent game, although he had tons of help at times from both Velasco and Gilbert. And, you know, this line just isn't what it's supposed to be yet. And whether it ever gets to that, we'll never know. Well, maybe we will. It's just going to be a ways out. But they got to get more creative with the running game. And you know, I think they got to use Jonathan Dwyer a little bit more. I don't see any reason to use Felix Jones. I think this should be a two-person rotation. They should be going just with Bell and just with Dwyer and just let Jones return the kickoffs.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, if you look at the rushing attempts this year, Bell has 120 attempts, and then it drops to 30 for Dwyer and 36 for Felix Jones, and then, you know, a couple of hodgepodge things from Ben and everybody else. So clearly Bell is getting the bulk of the carries, but Tomlin still loves this rotation thing. And, you know, I'm kind of with you in that I don't see the need to put Felix Jones in there right now. If you want a power guy and, you know, you need to give Bell a break every now and then. I get it. Then put Dwyer in there and just do a Bell-Dwyer thing and stop this trifecta, which doesn't work. It didn't work last year, the year before, and it doesn't work now. You know, I mean, if Bell's going to be your guy, let him in there the entire game and then bring in Dwyer to spell him, and that's the end of it. And until Tomlin learns to do that, we're still going to struggle. And it's just the way it is. And speaking of the offensive line, are we ever going to get a decent one again? I mean, when is the last time we had a good one? It certainly wasn't a Super Bowl 40. You know, I mean, they, I mean, as good as, you know, the Steelers were going into that year and, you know, that epic run, that's the last time when it was even remotely decent and it wasn't even great then.
I honestly,
is it drafting? Well, it's partly drafting. Is it just bad luck? Obviously, it's injuries too. I mean, it sucks.
Well, it's all of it. I mean, it's the injuries. I think the shift in O-line coaches has had an effect to a degree. And then I think David DeCastro, I'm not going to call him a bust. I don't think that's what he is. He's really in his first full season. He only had a couple of games last year. But I don't know that he's as dominant as they really believed he would be. Certainly we know where Mike Adams is, and I still hold out hope for Mike Adams that he will become a decent starter. I'm not going to say he will be. I have hope that he will be. I think Gilbert has come around this year. I'm very impressed with what he's done compared to what he did last year. I don't see him, you know, writhing in pain every third play and needing to come out for a breather. He seems like he's built up some toughness. And, you know, obviously you don't know with Velasco and Pouncey. I mean, there's a lot of people that like the way Velasco plays and think, hey, you know, shift Pouncey over to say left guard and put Ramon back at your top reserve guy. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I really don't want to look that far down the road yet, but it has been a combination of everything. Injuries, just poor play and certainly poor drafting. And I saw someone today asking somebody about should we draft a tackle high, and it's kind of like, well, why bother? We haven't had much luck drafting them high in the first place. So, you know, I really believe that the league has gone so crazy offensively. You really got to look for skill players now right away and try to build your team that way, but that's a whole other subject.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just so tired. I mean, Ben is, of course, getting sacked every 5 minutes. It's just it's a broken record. You know, the guy doesn't have all that many years left, regardless of what he says. You know, and this team is just absolutely killing him every week because they draft players and they don't pan out, or they get hurt, or, you know, you're playing musical chairs because you can't keep guys on the field because for one reason or another. I really would love to see at some point them just get a good offensive line. And, you know, I think they've got enough skill position players here with Brown and Heath Miller and Le'Veon Bell and even Manny Sanders, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, the resurgence, if you will, of Jericho Cotchery, that if they could just, for the love of God, get some blockers up front, this team could just be lethal in the red zone and out, because Ben will do what he – Ben will be Ben when he has to be. But I just – I would love to see them just get him some protection for once and you know, really see what this offense can do, but it just never happens. We have these high hopes every year of, oh, this offensive line can be this, that, and the other thing, and then injuries, and then the player sucks, and a different coach here and there, and then you're right back to square one. So, I don't know. But in any event, the defense, I think, you know, just to touch on them for a little bit here, obviously they stepped up big time late in the game, which is what you wanted. It's what we're used to seeing back in the day from Blitzburg. You know, when you absolutely got to have a play, somebody makes an interception, makes a sack, causes a turnover, and it was nice to see this defense amidst the poor play from the secondary at times, the pass rush with guys like Ziggy Hood, and Cam Hayward is starting to really have a hell of a year. So even with Kiesel and Woodley out, this defense found a way to win, which is just refreshing for me.
Well, you know, I mean, the defense has obviously taken a number of hits. You know, the secondary's old, Kiesel's old, Woodley's, you know, this, that, and the other. And, you know, they found a way to pull together in the second half the other day. And it's also been encouraging to see Cam Hayward play much better than he has in his career. It's been very encouraging to see Ziggy Hood make a few more plays than he has, a little more consistently. You know, McClendon's going to be a real toss-up. He's just not Casey Hampton, and that's not a knock on McClendon. He's a bigger, taller guy. He's incredibly strong. My God, can he just dominate a center? But I think the problem is that he doesn't take up the space that Casey did, and it makes it more difficult for those linebackers, especially when you got Larry Foote out of there. You got the rookie Williams in there, and you know, so I don't know. I mean, McClendon's snap totals have been in the teens, I think, the last 2 weeks. So, you know, this defense is still, you know, able to do some things. And I think Worlds is coming on a little bit. He's definitely better against the run than Jarvis Jones is. And you know, it would be nice to see Jones get hot. I mean, he got that one sack with last week. And really need him to get going, because we saw so much promise with him creating turnovers in the preseason. We need to see some more of that.
Well, you're right, and I think, I had cautious optimism with Jarvis Jones only because in the preseason, he was a phenom, and then you get in the regular season, and oh my God, now he's not doing so well, and then he's benched, and he's on special teams. So, I think he's still going to be fine. I think he can be the future, but I mean, sometimes it just takes guys a while for it to just click in their head, and he's clearly not fully clicked yet. He's like a half a click maybe right now or something. But, I think he's got the potential to be there, but, it does take time and experience to learn how to deal with a guy that's got, 70, 80 pounds on you trying to keep you away. And you've got to learn different moves and techniques and, handle one guy this way one week and one guy next, different way the next week. But I posed this question on Twitter earlier, I think like right after the game or the day after, and I said, the Steelers defense played like the defense of old. They dominated in the second half, et cetera, et cetera. And, Kiesel and Woodley weren't in there. So, is this a glimpse into the future, or was it just, the defense rising to the occasion and next week they're going to suck? I guess I mean that more of, do you consider not bringing back Kiesel next year, even as blasphemous as that sounds? Do you consider not bringing him back and letting Hayward and Hood go at it and be the bookends? Not that Hood's been all that great, and Hayward hasn't been that great until just this year. And what about Woodley and his overinflated contract? Is Worlds the answer now? I think this is a year for the defense that has a lot of questions to be answered because it is still an old unit on defense. A lot of old players who are getting older up there, they get hurt. And, it kind of makes you wonder, did these guys really rise to the occasion in spite of themselves, the injuries and whatnot? Or is this, just something, where maybe next year we have a totally different personnel in the front seven again?
Well, I think you could see, really across the board because, with Troy's contract situation, I don't think it's impossible that he could be cut. I mean, they're going to save a ton of money if they do that. Clark is certainly gone. I see no reason to bring him back, so you're looking at some changes back there. But yeah, to the front seven discussion, I really, Kiesel, I think, has had a decent year. But he's dealing with the plantar fasciitis, which that's not going to go away. He's not going to be as effective even if he does play. I think his days are numbered in Pittsburgh. I think you do go with Hayward. Maybe if you're not crazy about Hood, then do you slide McClendon out and look for a true 3-4, 350-pound nose? Is that what you do? I don't know. I mean, the world's question is interesting as well because he's going to be free agent. Do you bring him back and how much is he going to want to come back? He certainly hasn't done a ton to demand anything big. So it's just going to be. And, of course, we've probably said it for the last 3 years, but it's going to be a really fascinating offseason this time around because there's so many question marks.
Well, you're right, and I think the McClendon issue is a big one with this defense because, if you're going to run a 3-4 like the Steelers do, you've got to have a Casey Hampton or the Patriots with a Vince Wilfork, some monster behemoth skyscraper that just takes up, a huge gap and, occupies two, maybe sometimes three blockers. And McClendon is more of a tall, he's as you said, he's monster strong. He's just like a total beast. But I think he reminds me more of Hood in the sense that is he really a fit for the 34 defense? Maybe he's more of a pass rushing lineman than he is just a stopgap because the front three and the 3-4 are just basically run stoppers and gap hoggers. That's what they do. And, basically Casey Hampton, Big Snack, could just bend down, stand up, and take up two gaps by himself without doing anything. And I think McClendon is more, he's obviously as strong or stronger than Hampton is, but he's a different style of player, and you wonder if maybe him being out on an end and replacing Hood, like you said, might be a good idea, and then going out and, trying to get, a dominant run-stopping type of Casey Hampton again and maybe kind of get this defense back to the rushing stalwarts that they used to be.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting this week. Cleveland has thrown the ball for a ton of yards recently. I'll be curious to see if they try to run the ball a little bit, knowing that we've been so up and down with it. And, this week is going to be tough. Our defense is going to have to come to play. Jason Campbell's a veteran. He's had some decent success against us in the past. I mean, he's had some up and down moments, to say the least. But You know, this isn't going to be easy. This is not going to be a 37-27 game like last week was. I think this is just going to be a typical Cleveland-Pittsburgh war. They're talking snow as well, so could be a fun environment.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And just to touch on that Cleveland game for a little bit here, for a couple of minutes, obviously, you know, the Bengals lead the division there at 7 wins and 4 losses. They're 5-0 at home. They're 500 in the division. And then there's a three-way tie for second place between the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Browns. And the Bengals are on bye this week, right?
I believe they are, yes.
So, yeah, well, in any event, I mean, you know, the Steelers and Cleveland are playing. So, you know, if we were to win this week, you know, we can end up in sole possession of second place if the Ravens lose. So, you know, anything can happen. You know, based on the way we started out, I think we can consider ourselves unbelievably fortunate to be in second place right now, regardless. You know, I mean, let's face it, the AFC North stinks. I mean, it's one of the worst divisions in terms of, I mean, quality opponents. I mean, when you've got a three-way tie for second place and everybody's 4-6, it doesn't speak well for your division. I don't care who you are.
No.
So you're right. So, I mean, I think we're lucky to be in the division we are right here, to obviously even have a chance to sniff a wild card at this point and maybe more. But, you know, I agree with you. I don't think this will be a high-scoring game. I would like to see the Steelers obviously blow them out and put this one away early, but – you know, these AFC North games, you know, when you think you've got them figured out, it ends up being, you know, a 7-3 slugfest.
Well, you know what? I mean, Cincinnati scored 41 points on Cleveland on Sunday, and I was reading an article today, and then I went back and looked at the stats. The Cleveland defense did not play bad at all. I think the quarterback there, Campbell, I think he threw three picks that eventually they led to short fields and touchdowns for Cincinnati, if I remember correctly. You know, so don't automatically assume because the Bengals put up 41 that it's going to be no problem for us to put up, you know, 30 or 35. Cause that defense is aggressive. It's a Ray Horton defense. You learn from Dick LeBeau. You're going to see in a very aggressive style. They're very good against the run. And very, very good against the pass. I mean, Antonio Brown's going to have his work cut out for him against Joe Hayden, and that means guys like Cotchery and probably Marcus Wheaton, who's going to see some more time if Sanders can't go. These guys got to step up.
Yeah, you're exactly right. This is a game, obviously, the Steelers, they have to win. I mean, the wiggle room right now is nil. I mean, yep. Basically, you've got to win the rest of the way out. There's no two ways about it. Regardless of how bad the division is. I mean, you know, maybe they've got the monkey off their back now. They had the big comeback win last week. Maybe they can put some wins together here. They're going to have to. But, you know, these games against Cleveland, they always scare me because Cleveland traditionally stinks and we're usually pretty good. And, you know, just when you think you've got, you know, their number and, you know, well, so-and-so put up this many on them, we should be able to. We end up barely winning or having to come back or losing. So, in theory, I see the Steelers winning this game, but, you know, I'm certainly not banking on anything as far as a blowout goes. You know, but I guess I can say I like their chances against the Browns. You know, it'll be, you know, the weather's going to be bad. It'll be cold. So, you know, that's going to put a big emphasis on the run game, so which means Bell's going to have to come out big. You know, Heath Miller could have a big day. So, yeah, I like the direction they're in now, but I'm afraid to get excited about this team because every time I do, it goes south in a second.
Well, I share that with you. I feel the same way. I you know, there's a couple of things going into this game I like. You know, Ben Roethlisberger's 15-1 against Cleveland in his career. That obviously speaks pretty well. And you know, the other thing too is that you're right. You want to get excited about this team, and every time we do, something happens and it kind of goes downhill. And I just have a feeling a lot of young guys found some success last week, and I think that can really translate. And, you know, Jason Campbell will make mistakes. He will turn the ball over. He always has been that way. And if we can take advantage of that, then we got a shot. But we can't afford to have their speed guys getting open the way we did with Calvin Johnson. There's no way we're gonna win the game. We can't do that stuff.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So I guess I can say I'm moderately confident, but I'm not going to make any predictions. But, hey, but before we get out of here, we have a new member who writes some articles on SteelCityBlitz.com, do we not?
We do. Friend of ours for a while now. I've done some mock drafts with him. His name is Chris Garman. He is. You can follow him on Twitter at steel_by_design. He's got some stuff. I think he's done 3 or 4 articles. He just wanted to get involved with it, and we're always open to giving people a shot, and he's done a real nice job so far. So just keep writing away, Chris. Give us your opinions. He's a very knowledgeable Steelers fan and a big draft guy, too, so we're very excited to have him once we roll into the combines, the workouts, and all the other stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely follow him on Twitter, steel_by_design, as you said. He also has a website, which I believe is chris-garman, garman.com, I believe is what it was.
So you
can check him out there. He does a lot of graphic design and other stuff. Yep. I think we're going to have him on the show here pretty soon, too.
We will do that indeed. We'll baptize him, as they say.
Oh, man. Coming on the show with us, God help the kid. But I think with that, we will wrap it up. So we are looking forward to a Steelers victory this week, I hope. Be sure and follow the blog, steelcityblitz.com, RSS. We're on Facebook now. That's been up and running for a few weeks. So check us out, facebook.com/steelcityblitz. We're gaining some followers there. So check us out. Give us a like. Do some interacting. Of course, Mark's on Twitter at SteelDad. I am on Twitter at RetroRockCity. And tweet us anytime. Facebook us, email us, website us, yep. Whatever us. We definitely dig it.
No question. And, hey, don't forget, quick turnaround for the Steelers, too. They'll be playing Thanksgiving night in Baltimore.
Oh, God, man. You know, that's going to screw up my Black Friday shopping. You know that?
Are you admitting that on the show? Really, you're admitting that? I sleep in with the kids. I let the ladies go. I can't stand people. So I...
All right. I'm not going to stay anymore because I've just totally incriminated myself
there
beyond belief right now. All right. So let's wrap it up. So thanks for listening to The Blitz presented by SteelCityBlitz.com.
Thanks for listening to The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. Be sure and follow Mark on Twitter at SteelDad and Matt at Retro Rock City. If you'd like to be on the show or submit a question for us to discuss, just drop us a line on the website, www.steelcityblitz.com, and use the Contact Us link on the top right of the page, or you can just drop us a tweet. Steel City Blitz is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.